Hello, and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mark, and it's my pleasure to read God's Word with you today, Good Friday, April 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2026. Listen in as I read passages that lead us to self-reflection, prayer, repentance, and renewal. Today, I am reading perhaps a somewhat familiar passage for you, John chapter 19, verses 1 through 37. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Listen closely, for this is God's word to us. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. This is perhaps a familiar passage of scripture for you. We know that Jesus died on the cross, and how sad and how tragic and how awful it was. The Gospel of John goes to great lengths to describe many of the details surrounding Jesus' crucifixion. In so doing, John wants us to know, as he says toward the end of our passage today, that not only did these things really happen, but they had to happen in a certain way. So as you reflect on this scripture here today, I would encourage you to perhaps look at one or two different details in Jesus' crucifixion and ask yourself, Lord, what might you be trying to teach or to show me even in this small detail? And to also give thanks to God that he would give his son as our atoning sacrifice for our sins to die on the cross that we might ultimately have life in his name. And now Psalm 82. A psalm of Asaph. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations.
Thank you so much, Mark, for reading for the podcast. Since it is a Friday, I thought it would be fun for us to do just a real short interview on this Good Friday, which is a reminder that we have a service today at noon, followed by a fish fry. How excited are you about that?
I can't wait. The fish fry was so wonderful last year, and obviously any chance to worship together as a church family is always a good thing, especially on Good Friday.
So in our house, when we share a meal together, we do three questions. We say, what's a high, a low, and a buffalo? So something good, something bad that you're dealing with, and then something that's just strange or interesting or an anomaly that you'd like to share with us. So instead of a regular interview, let's just do high, low, buffalo.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think a high right now is being able to be with my family, to coach kids. I love getting to coach youth sports, and I love getting to coach my kids in particular, and that has brought me so much joy here this spring, coaching softball and being a head coach for t-ball for my three-year-old. It has been so much fun, and it's hard to believe that the season is only a few more weeks longer. It feels like it just began, but I've had so much fun this spring being able to coach.
That's the best. Okay, what's something a low? And it doesn't have to be real low. My kids make fun of me at the table. They said, Mom, don't go too low. So anything that we can be praying alongside you or something that you want to highlight?
Yeah. I think in this season, just discernment. I think there's discernment in kind of just different parts of my life that I would like some clarity for. And I trust and know that God walks alongside me and that He is a God who makes a path. But I could use prayers for discernment in a couple of different areas and would just crave anyone to lift me up in prayer and specifically to ask for discernment here in these days going on.
And give us a buffalo. What's something you've learned recently or something that sticks out?
Gosh, that's a great question, Mary.
Sorry to pepper you with these.
I think one thing that I have continued to learn really for the past several weeks now is increased patience. I think I've seen different parts and areas of my life where perhaps I would have been a little bit more impatient before. And I've seen even in these last several weeks how the Lord is instilling in me a spirit of patience where I may not have had it before. And so I'm grateful. And the thing about patience is that you're never patient enough. There's always something to learn and to grow. So I'll continue to pray for that and work through that. But grateful for the Lord's presence and just how He's been showing me some neat things in that area.
Does your family have traditions on Easter that you might share with me?
That's a great question. We love being with family. Of course, we try to see both sets of families on Easter. We dye a lot of Easter eggs leading up to Easter. That's always a favorite. We love a good Easter egg hunt. We'll go over to Ann's grandmother's house on Easter Sunday, and she has a small little courtyard, but she always seems to put out 1,000 eggs. There seems to be so many eggs, and the kids just have such a wonderful time finding them. But we just love being together as a family on Easter, and of course, remembering the hope that we have in Jesus and His resurrection.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, for reading for us. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we come to You today, and Lord, we recognize and we feel just the heaviness of this day. Lord, we know that it was so painful, Lord, for You and certainly for Your Son to go to the cross, Lord, to die an unjust and unfair death. But Lord, in so doing, He has given us eternal life. Lord, we pray that we would remember the price that You had to pay into sending Your Son, Jesus, on our behalf. I pray that as we reflect on that price, Lord, that You would work in our hearts, You would work in our minds, Father, deeper affection and love and desire to follow You and to live into Your will for us. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.